right, welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well today. Joe Rex Road out again today. He'll be back coming up on Monday off of vacation. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Adam, how are you? What's going on?
I'm good.
Michelle, how are you?
Doing great. Yeah, just chilling, you know. This.
I don't believe you.
You are both doing awesome this morning.
I thought Adam was going to say something more.
I thought he was, too.
He's like, good, and then I'm like, great.
I actually said, I'm good.
Wednesday, I feel like, is the hardest day. Robbie and I were talking about this before you got in, Adam. Like, Wednesday is that, like, day you just got to get to Thursday, and then the weekend's here.
Yeah.
You know?
Getting there.
It's like,
there.
It's like the camel on the Geico commercial used
Hump
to say.
Day. Hump day. just beautiful stuff. It is NHL free agency day. So the day has finally arrived. Already some stuff going on around the league. Johnny Gaudreau informing the Calgary Flames that he will indeed be heading to the market and testing free agency. So apparently the Flames rolled out the red carpet for Johnny Gaudreau and he said, yeah, no thanks. I'll go test the market in free agency. You've got Evgeny Malkin signing a four-year deal last night with the Pittsburgh Penguins at just over $6 million a year, which I do not think is going to age very well for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but Malkin is back in Pittsburgh. So I always questioned whether or not he would actually leave, and of course he did not, and they ended up getting that figured out. It sounds like Sidney Crosby had a lot to do with that as well. So Malkin back in Pittsburgh. Looks like Evander Kane's going to be back in Edmonton. So some moves already being made in terms of re-signings, but also some pretty high-level guys definitely going to free agency. Nazem Kadri is basically going to be like just hearing every team that's interested in him's pitch and then making a decision that way. So we'll see how that goes for Kadri, but going to be an interesting day today throughout the league in NHL free agency, Adam Vingan.
Yeah, and an interesting piece of news just crossed the Twitter wire from Jeff Marek. We talked about this very briefly on the show yesterday. Jeff tweets, quote, "Sounds like Brent Burns to Dallas has picked up steam. One to watch for this morning." And that would be a trade, of course, yeah. Not a free agent signing. But that would be interesting. Jeff also tweets, another defenseman to watch today is John Klingberg, formerly of Dallas. We'll get our Dallas Stars news out of the way here quickly.
That's right.
Both Seattle and Detroit have various levels of interest, but Carolina, as Elliot Freeman has reported, is probably in the best position to offer what he's looking for. Carolina has been around Klingberg at various times all season. But to your point, the biggest news of last night as it relates to NHL free agency, Johnny Gaudreau, the number one player on the market, informed the Calgary Flames that he will not be returning and he will be entering free agency. We talked with Greg Wyshynski yesterday, and I think the consensus among those in the know is that Johnny Gaudreau will be heading east. Brad Tree Living, the GM of the Flames, said last night that it was a quote-unquote family decision.
Yeah.
So Johnny Gaudreau's family is based in the southern New Jersey, Philadelphia area, I believe. So there's a lot of smoke around the Philadelphia Flyers, the New Jersey Devils, yep. I believe even the New York Islanders, somewhere in that northeast corridor. But you know what's really interesting as I saw that news cross the wire last night was just thinking about where the Flames are now, because they just lost, you know, their best player, and we in the sports media, we talk about windows so much we might as well be working for Pella. Nice. But you talk, look at the Flames. You know, they had a fabulous season. They won the Pacific Division. They were the second best team in the Western Conference. Johnny Gaudreau had, I think, 115 points. He, Elias Lindholm, and Matthew Tkachuk were arguably the most dominant forward line in the league. They lost in the second round to Edmonton. And now what?
Yep.
That's how fragile these windows are. So what do the Flames do? Do they take all of that money? And it's expected that Johnny Gaudreau is going to make upwards of $10 million per season. I think he would be either the 14th or 15th member of the $10 million club in terms of cap hit in the NHL. Do they take that money and throw it at as many high-priced free agents as they can and try to You know, they're not going to replace Johnny Gaudreau, but do they try to get a couple of guys that could come close combined? Do they look at their roster and say, maybe this is the time to retool? You know, they have Matthew Tkachuk who needs to be re-signed.
Which I bet doesn't happen now, by the way.
Right. But we'll see. If they trade him, do they tear it down? They have a lot of really good players on that team. But, you know, as the Predators have sort of learned in the last few years, being in the middle is the worst place to be. So do the Flames take this opportunity to start over in some form? And it makes you wonder what the Predators would have done if Philip Forsberg put them in the same position. If Philip Forsberg said, I'm not coming back, what would the Predators have done? David Poile claims that he would not have entertained a rebuild, but would they have had any other choice?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. And now the question becomes, speaking of the Predators, what do they do today as free agency begins? There's still a glaring hole in their lineup on the top six that I would expect them to address in some form or fashion. But David Poile had some interesting comments yesterday on the DDC regarding NHL free agency that kind of had me scratching my head a little bit and wondering what we're going to see today. Here's what David Poile had to say yesterday on the DDC.
David, as you look ahead, I can remember sometimes during free agency and also during the trade deadline, you come on a show like ours to say, look, the prices weren't the way we like them. The prices were high. There's a supply and demand element every year. I'm curious what you think right now as you sort of carve out your budget to attack free agency here. You guys have said that you'd like to find maybe a top six forward. You have a budget, a ballpark, what you have ready to spend. It looks to me like there's a lot of possibilities out there, more so than some years. Maybe not at the very, very top. We'll see what happens in this last 24-hour period if some other guys are signed. But how do you like your options, maybe, to improve the roster?
Well, this too is complicated, even more complicated than the Forsberg negotiations. Let's start with the salary cap. We're in a situation coming out of COVID where we've made a deal with the Players Association in terms of their salaries and payback and all that stuff, that the cap is only going up $1 million this year, and it's only going up $1 million for the next 2 years. So we, and along with all the other clubs, are kind of hard-pressed to, either letting guys go or not giving raises or, trying to do all of those various and different things. For us, we have some money to spend on a forward in free agency, but a long-term contract is probably not in the cards, because when I look to next year, the following year, 23-24, where the salary cap only goes up a year, we have a number of players' contracts that are up next year, whether it be Carrier, Fabro, Janot, Trennan, just to mention four young guys. So they're coming off of, most of those guys are coming off of entry-level contracts, and as they keep playing the way they did last year, they're not just going to get a raise, they're going to get a substantial raise. So I can't oversign, I guess if that is the word, I could do it this year to get to the cap, but if I sign somebody to a multi-year deal, then something's going to have to give next year.
So that was David Poile yesterday. Adam, I found that really interesting, especially that last part of it, because he said, if I sign someone to, quote, a multi-year deal, something's going to have to give next year. So, look, I don't want to spend too much time kind of digging into David Poile's comments there, because we'll see what happens. And, look, there could be trades that happen today. There's a whole lot that could happen today. But I walked away from that conversation that they had on the DDC yesterday, Adam, and thought to myself, that kind of sounds like they're aiming for maybe a one-year deal with somebody out there in terms of filling the hole in the top six, one-year deal, and then you reevaluate where your roster is next year. So guys like David Perron or Phil Kessel came to mind for me, guys that maybe are more willing to sign a one-year deal. You know, some of your younger free agent forwards, I would assume 27, 28 years old, you're probably going to be looking for a multi-year deal out there on the open market. Maybe not always, but most of those guys probably will be. So I'm really interested by those comments from David Poile, because he talked about Janot's deal coming up next year. We'll see what happens with Trennan this offseason and whether or not it's a one-year deal or a multi-year deal. You've got Carrier, you've got Fabro to think about as well. There's a lot going into this decision with David Poile, and I wonder how that affects what they do today.
The Predators don't have any major unrestricted free agents coming up for some time.
Yep.
I'm looking at their cap-friendly page. It's really until you have to get to 2025 when Ryan Johansson and Mikael Granlund's contracts expire and UC Saros' contract expires. So the next couple of summers, they really don't have any major players, which in some way is good. So you don't have to worry about something like Philip Forsberg again.
Yeah.
But next summer, Tanner Jeannot, Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, and Connor Ingram need new contracts. And none of those players, presumably, are going to cost a lot comparatively. But combined, you know, that you're those players are going to take up a nice little chunk of cap space. So to David's point, with the cap not increasing significantly over the next couple of years, you don't want to lock yourself into a longer term deal, because you want to maintain that flexibility. So, you know, to your point, the higher priced, more notable free agent wingers on the market are going to want that security.
Yep.
So you're going to probably have to aim at the mid, like early to mid 30s group. And you said, you know, you mentioned David Perron, who we talked about a little bit yesterday. Phil Kessel, you know, guys like that are basically stop gaps, and that goes back to what we were talking about. Does that make them better? Also here, according to Pierre LeBrun, all signs point to the Ottawa Senators being the front runners to land Claude Giroux when the market opens today. Pierre Dorion having having a great offseason. They made a trade yesterday. They traded for Cam Talbot, who clearly was unhappy in Minnesota.
They basically replaced Matt Murray with Cam Talbot, which is a good deal in today's NHL.
Yes. The Senators are having a good offseason. But, yeah, you're looking at those early to mid-30s players who will take a 1 or 2 year deal. Maybe the cap hit's a bit inflated. We talked about, would you sign David Perron to a 2-year, $9 million contract? I would. David made it sound, and of course, as he said, after they re-signed Philip Forsberg, there are things he says aloud that aren't always true or don't have.
Yeah.
So there could be some gamesmanship happening there, not wanting to tip his hand or anything like that, but it doesn't make it sound like he's going to, if you're expecting, it sounds like if you're hoping that they make a splash, I would, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Temper expectations.
Exactly. Temper your expectations. That's exactly what I was trying to say.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rexrow, taking your thoughts on NHL free agency on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What will the Predators do today as NHL free agency begins? We'll continue that conversation coming up next. Step up to the tee and take a swing at betting the PGA Tour on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet the tour with a no-sweat first bet, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in free bets. It's a big weekend in the PGA Tour, the Open, coming up this week. I like Rory McIlroy. Scottie Scheffler's had a great year as well, so those are the two names that I would go with, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel Sportsbook, official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is NHL Free Agency Day today. I believe the official beginning of free agency comes at 11 a.m. Central Time today.
Yes, so. Right at in the heart of the DDC.
That's right.
So make sure to be listening then for all of your instant analysis of NHL free agency.
Wow, that was really good, Adam. Way to go.
I'm learning from the best.
Where?
Michelle.
It's not here. I was about to say, it ain't over here. Not me.
It's me.
What's wrong with you this morning? You're like me.
Me.
I'm living the dream back here.
Hey, Michelle, how are you this morning?
Fine.
I said great. I said great. You said, I'm good.
That's right.
I am good.
Y'all are very boisterous to begin the show today. It's good stuff.
I'm like Don LaGreca over here.
Oh, man. What a rant yesterday.
Yes, if you haven't seen it, type in Don LaGreca.
Just Don LaGreca rant from yesterday.
Yes,
good stuff.
On the, what was that?
The Google machine.
Is that ESPN radio in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
James on the text line says, the Malkin deal with Pittsburgh seems to indicate that a very high quality player can be had for right around 4 years and $6 million. Is there anyone else out there that might command such a price that the Predators could go after? Seems pretty reasonable for a deal to me, unless he's giving them a hometown discount. Well, look,
honestly, one could argue that they're overpaying.
I would say that they're overpaying for getting. Look, the guy can't, and Greg Wyshynski laid this out pretty well on our show yesterday. The guy can't play a full season anymore. Like, he cannot do it. I'll put it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
If all of these next 4 years are 82 game seasons, there will not be a season that Evgeny Malkin plays in more than 62 games. Not one. That's my hot take of the day.
I'm looking at Evolving Hockey's contract projection model, and I'm trying to get a sense of which players could fall into that category based on the terms that the texter offered. According to Evolving Hockey, Vincent Trocheck, who we talked about yesterday,
yeah,
they project a 4-year contract with a $5.951 million cap hit.
Okay.
Max Domi, who we talked about on Monday, 4 years, $4.489 million cap hit. So those are a couple of them. We've talked about Nino Niederreiter a lot. Oh my gosh. They're projecting a 7-year deal with a $5.724 million cap.
7 years, huh?
Yeah, I don't think so. Someone like Trocheck, someone like Domi, maybe in that range, but you know, when you look at another move the Pittsburgh Penguins made a couple of days ago when they re-signed Rickard Rakell, it was a 6-year deal with a $5 million cap hit. I mean, I think you're looking at somewhere between 5 and 6 at least for one of the higher end wingers that might actually help a team.
Yeah. And look, we've talked about the cap space the Predators have. I mean you've still got to re-sign Trennan, and you've got to factor that in. And, you know, David Poile talked about that yesterday, too. It could be a one-year deal. It could be a multi-year deal. We'll see what happens on the Trennan front. But since they qualified him, I mean, they're obviously going to sign him. It's just a matter of how that takes place. It could end up going to arbitration. And in that case, it would have to be a 1 or 2 year deal. So we'll see what happens with Yakov Trennan. But you've got that. You've got to factor into your salary cap. And then I don't think they're going to be big spenders today. Like, certainly, I think I would be shocked today if they signed somebody to, like, a 7-year deal, whoever it would be. Let's say they're interested in Nino Niederreiter. Like, if the Predators gave him a 7-year deal, I would be floored. Like, I don't see that in the cards today for the Predators. But, you know, I guess I also wouldn't be shocked if there was a trade of some kind for the Predators today either. Like, that's typically how David Poile likes to operate anyway, is mm-hmm. in trades rather yeah. than, you know, throwing money around left and right to free agents. But I'm interested to see exactly what they do today, because there's a couple of different ways you could go. I mean, we talked about the options that are 30 and above that are maybe more of your 1 or 2 year deal type stuff. You know, Perron's a name. Phil Kessel's a name that you could throw out there. Like, if the Predators end up going that route, let's say it's David Perron. Like, I think he's a pretty good addition to the top six. He had 27 goals last year, I think 57 points. I'd probably feel pretty good about that if I was the Predators and that was the guy that I got at the end of the day. If it's Phil Kessel, which this is really interesting, and Darren brought this up yesterday on the DDC, there is a very, in the Predators Twitter fan base, whatever you want to call it, that land, a very divided camp on Phil Kessel. Some are all about it, and they want him some Phil Kessel and think, okay, he played for an awful team last year. His goals will go back up when he has, you know, competent players getting him the puck. And there are some that think, okay, he's 35 years old. He used to be a goal scorer. He scored 8 goals last year. How much is that really going to help you if you're the Predators? I think we know what category you and I fall into, and that's probably not the biggest supporters of the Phil Kessel move. But It is interesting like how divided Predators fans are on that.
Yeah. I mean, Phil Kessel, this is not 2015, 16, 17 Phil Kessel, or even earlier than that. Phil Kessel, he's in his mid-30s. His finishing ability has deteriorated. He's a defensive liability. If this was Phil Kessel from 5 years ago, you could talk me into it. I don't like that idea at all. I don't think he makes your team better. I think that one thing I also talked about, I think it was yesterday, was Phil Kessel is the current active Iron Man in the NHL in terms of consecutive games played. He's not far from breaking the record, which was just set by Keith Yandle. If you're putting him in the lineup every night with the hope that he'll break that record, I think you're doing your team a disservice. So,
but he's still good enough to be in the lineup every night, don't you think?
As long as you're limiting his, as long as you're, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this. Like you've got to put him. You have to give him the softest matchups possible.
Yeah.
Like basically start every shift in the offensive zone. you can put him on the power play.
What you're saying is Phil Kessel's not going to be out there on the penalty kill.
No, he's not. No. And I've currently got a blog up from Elliot Freeman that has some nuggets. He says, all eyes are on New Jersey and Philadelphia for Johnny Gaudreau. He does believe it would be hard for Gaudreau to end up in Philadelphia because of their cap situation. So it seems like the Devils are the early favorites for Johnny Gaudreau. He says, with Evgeny Malkin back to Pittsburgh, look for Vincent Trocheck in Manhattan, meaning the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. Florida and Ottawa remain the leaders for Claude Giroux. Let's see what else. Andre Palat's got a few teams surrounding him. I'd heard New Jersey, but no idea if that can work if Gaudreau ends up there. Seattle.
I'll tell you, that's the guy that if you were going to
throw money at,
if you were going to throw a little bit of money at, I would, if I'm the Predators, I'd really like to get Andre Palat. The problem is I think he may end up getting too much money. Like, he's a good player.
Right.
I think he is a prime candidate of somebody that may get overpaid come free agency.
Oh, for sure, because we talked about this with Ryan McDonough. The rings in the room is very important for the old school hockey men, that it's important for teams to have players in the dressing room that that have won before. That's, I'm sure, one of the reasons why the Predators were so eager to jump on Ryan McDonough. By the way, one thing that was also said in that interview with David Poile that I found to be interesting was that the Ryan McDonough trade was not on their radar, according to David Poile, that Ryan McDonough's agent reached out to David to let him know that the Lightning would be trading Ryan McDonough, and it basically fell into their laps. I mean, I'm sure that happens sometimes. It just, you don't hear that
right.
Very often.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
That was, if you look at some of the reporting that's gone on around it, it sounds like maybe there were calls made to a lot of teams around the league of, hey, this is what's happening. And Nashville and Columbus appear to be two teams that were very interested. And obviously, like, if you're Ryan McDonough, yeah, we're going to Nashville in that situation. No disrespect to the Blue Jackets.
Jarmo Kekäläinen, the GM of the Blue Jackets, denied the reporting that
he did.
Because there were reports that if Ryan McDonough would not have waived his no trade clause, that the Lightning would have waived him because no trade clauses do not protect against waivers like no movement clauses do.
Right.
And that Columbus basically was going to jump on him
and take
him off their hands. So Kekalainen denied that report. But
he did, but I don't believe it.
Yeah. You can't, I mean, like I said yesterday, it takes two to lie, one to lie and one to listen. and that's what this is all about. This time of year, that's what this is all about. It's all about smoke screens.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts all show long on NHL free agency. What would make you happy as a Predators fan today to see what they would do and who they sign? Who is the guy or guys out there in free agency that you want the Predators to target? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning. The morning of NHL free agency, which officially kicks off at 11 o'clock this morning. So looking forward to that. Already some moves that are being made in terms of re-signings and a lot of buzz about potential free agents hitting the market. Johnny Gaudreau will hit the market. I think he's going to end up in New Jersey, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That would seem to make sense. They have a lot of cap space. They've got a young core. It makes a lot of sense. You know, speaking of New Jersey, the one thing that I'm interested to see is what happens with PK Subban.
Yeah.
That contract is over.
That contract is over.
If you can believe it. And PK is certainly not the player he was.
He's basically a third pair guy now.
Yeah, the contract was an 8-year $72 million contract. It is finally over. He is not the player he was when he was here.
Is he coming back, you think?
Here?
Yeah.
That would be funny. I think he'll end up somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm very curious to see what his market value is because
he is not the
defenseman he used to be, but he still has value in a certain role. So I'd be curious to see if he takes a below market value deal compared to what he was making before, which he will because he's not making $9 million
again. No, not even close. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, a couple of ex-Rangers are great fits. Ryan Strome or Andrew Kopp, both around 5.5 guys and proven. Same texture also says, Phil Kessel in a barbecue city equals 359 pounds.
Jeez.
Hey, everybody always talks about Phil Kessel, but I'll give him this. The guy's available every game, man. You can say what you want about Phil Kessel, but he plays, and he plays every game.
Yes. Phil.
I mean, people have been talking about Phil Kessel and his weight since he came in the league. It's so, like a guy can still skate pretty well.
So Phil Kessel has played 982 consecutive games.
Incredible.
The streak started November 3rd, 2009.
Yeah.
Keith Yandel, who held the record previously, at 989 games. So he just has to make it through the first 8 games of the season to become the all-time Iron Man in NHL history. So, yes, as you said, you can tease him about his appearance, but he's in good enough shape and health to play nearly 1,000 consecutive games.
I'm talking myself into it, man.
Don't.
Future Nashville Predator.
Don't do it.
Maybe as of later today, Phil Kessel.
Man. That'll get everyone really jazzed up.
They will. I'm looking forward to it. There is the Andrew Kopp part of this. So the texter brings that up. I looked up at NHL Network a minute ago, and the question they were asking on NHL Network was, should the Predators sign Andrew Kopp? So we talked about him a little bit yesterday. He had his career high in goals last year with 21. I think he was around, 53 points, somewhere in that neighborhood last year. You know, he's a guy that I think definitely could play center. I think he could probably play on the wing as well. What do you make of the Andrew Copp? Because there seems to be a lot of people trying to connect the dots to from Andrew Copp to the Predators as to the piece that they may need.
Arthur Staple of The Athletic reported yesterday, he said the two sides, the Copp and the Rangers, the two sides talked over the weekend, but there is reluctance to back off the big contract ask from Copp's side, which, according to Arthur, is 7 years at around $5.5 million per season.
That's pretty steep, man.
I wouldn't do that.
No,
I wouldn't do that.
That is pretty steep. Can he get that on the open market? I would be...
He did have a good showing with the Rangers. I'm looking it up here. So he had 18 points in 16 regular season games, 8 goals, 10 assists, 18 points in 16 regular season games for the Rangers. He had 14 points in 20 playoff games, 6 goals, 8 assists. So he had a nice showing down the stretch. So yes, a team, you know, I think in that blog post I was reading earlier from Elliot Freeman, I think he was wondering aloud about Copp to Detroit.
Yeah, I can see that.
They need a center. They need a lot of things, but they need a center. Let's see if I was right about that. Yeah, he said, I will guess Copp to Detroit because I like to try and figure out what Steve Yzerman will do. If a 7-year contract with a $5.5 million cap hit is what Copp is looking for, I would say pass.
John in McMinnville texting in says, if we're going for a bigger name, I'd like Perron or Trocheck, but if we're going for value, I'd like to take a look at Mikhaev.
Ilya Mikhaev, yes, he had a good season with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mikhaev.
I think it's Mikhaev. Mikhaev. Yeah, whatever. Tomato, tomato. Mikhaev had 21 goals and 32 points in 53 games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's 27. In that same blog post that I keep referencing from Elliot Freeman, he guesses Mikhaev signs with the Washington Capitals.
Wow.
So, I don't know. I don't have the evolving hockey up right now, so I don't know what his contract would be. You know, based on the projection for Trocheck, which I think was 4x5, 4x6,
yep,
something like that.
4x5.9, I think. Yeah,
that I would entertain that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm not sure. Like, that's the thing though, is there are only a few players on the market winger wise that I would be, you know, if I were a Predators fan, we'd be really jazzed about.
Well, and the other part of this, like, you don't have to, and I heard Darren talking about this yesterday, and I fully agree. Like, you don't have to get some long-term answer over there. Like, it doesn't have to be a guy that you go sign for 5 or 6 years and say, okay, well, this is our second-line left winger until 2028. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be this year. It can be for the next 2 years. Like, not every deal in free agency or deal that you make, if you're the Predators, has to be a long-term deal. And the more I think about it, like, the more I don't think it's going to be a long-term deal today. Like, I think you're going to see a 1 or 2 year deal today by whoever it is that the Predators sign. I think it's going to be a 1 or 2 year deal. And then that kind of leaves you some cap flexibility as you move forward here to make some other decisions. But I don't expect like a 5 or 6 year contract. I could be wrong. I guess it depends on who's available and who's interested in coming to you, and you can kind of reevaluate your lineup from there. But I'd be surprised if there's a gigantic deal in the folds today for the Predators. Michael in Clarksville on the text line says, go get Dylan Strome, sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal, $3 or $4 million per year, and then add a veteran like Kessel or Perron, or you could trade for Matthew Tkachuk, give up a first rounder, Fabro, and Johansson, maybe more picks. Well, I don't know why Calgary would take Ryan Johansson.
And his qualifying offer was $9 million, right? Yeah. So, I think the re-signing of Philip Forsberg and the addition of Brian McDonough, you know, is taking the Predators out of the big game hunting, whatever you'd like to call it. Unless they make another huge corresponding move. Yeah. So I don't think Tkachuk is in the cards. But, you know, Strom, Dylan Strom is the, you know, all the Stroms are heading free agency. I think there's a third Strom. There's Ryan Strom in New York. There's Dylan Strom in Chicago. And there's another Strom, like a less heralded Strom. Yeah. That's all.
Stroms everywhere.
Yeah. Stroms everywhere. Strom, the thing is, players like Strom and I think Trocheck as well, they're centers. Yep. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't play on the wing, but I feel like the Predators are pretty set at center. Unless you've got Granlund and you've got Johansson and you've got Sissons and presumably Cody Glass.
I mean, unless you wanted to move Granlund back to the wing somewhere, but he's played so well at center the last year that I think they're going to leave him where he is.
One could argue that they still need help at center because you can argue whether or not Mikael Granlund and Ryan Johansson are the top six centers that get you to the proverbial promised land.
Right.
But the Predators, I feel like they are set at center.
Yeah.
And they're the ones making the decisions.
JD on the text line says, what's the market for Kadri?
Oh, boy.
A market you probably don't want to get into.
Kadri apparently is going to... You know, he's going to entertain offers from everybody, obviously. But I feel like it sounds like there's going to be some sort of tiered approach where, you know, if it sounds like it's going to be like The Bachelor almost, where it's like everybody mills around and then he gives a rose to a couple people. And he's like, well, I'll talk to your GM. And if I like that, then I'll talk to maybe your coach. Yeah. And if I like that, I'll talk to your captain or something like that. Yeah, Kadri is the one. We asked this to Greg Wyshynski yesterday. Kadri is the contract I'm most fascinated to see when it's over, because Kadri will be 32 when the season starts. And he had a fabulous season on a fabulous team. You know, he had 87 points this past season. His previous career high was 61 in 2016-17 with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So a gigantic jump. And then he had a great playoffs too. For the Avalanche, who, of course, won the Stanley Cup. So Kadri's going to cash in, and he's going to want to because this is his last chance. But this is not a 32-year-old player who's going to take a 3 or 4 year deal.
No.
He's going to be wanting the full freight. And
If you're the team that gives him that, I don't know about that.
I mean,
man.
I would be the team. Like, you know, one team that just keeps popping up around all of these free agents is Seattle. And we talked about Seattle yesterday just because they have a lot of money. And I they were not competitive last season, and I think they want to get off on the right foot here in their second season. So they have the space to throw money at people. And if you're the Seattle Kraken, you know, maybe you do take a chance on Kadri because you're a young franchise and you're hoping to take a big step forward. But yeah, I think whoever signs Kadri is going to regret it. Not because he's not a good player, but he's older, and I just think that contract is not going to age well.
Yep, I am totally with you. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on NHL free agency. Got more of your thoughts to get to coming up next. And I'll also throw out this question. Who are some young guys that are not already on the roster for the Predators that could potentially make an impact for them very soon? I talked to one of them yesterday that I think could be pretty intriguing moving forward. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vinkin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on NHL free agency, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Logan texting in says, does Johnny Gaudreau not want to win? Why in the world would you go to the Devils? With a crying, laughing emoji face. He hadn't gone there yet. He's just the... Just that was a nice Joe Rexroad style mute you had there too.
Almost. I stopped myself. I got like one syllable out.
It counted.
I got that's the first time.
It counted. It is the first time. Rexroad would have eight by now, but it counts.
But that includes my time with Caroline a couple of weeks ago. I did not mute myself once then either.
He'd have 25 by then. Yeah.
No. Joe, as someone who claims to be a radio professional, not very professional.
He's throwing that claim out there. But yes, Gaudreau, he's not signed with the Devils yet. No. It just they seem to be the favorite. So we'll see.
Well, if you're a Johnny Gaudreau, you know, you're hoping that you're getting in on the ground floor of something. And look, the Devils have been, you know, trying to rebuild for a long time now. And I know I can remember, you know, 3 years ago when they traded for PK Subban from the Predators, and I think they signed Wayne Simmonds in free agency, and they thought they were ready to go. A couple months later, John Hines was let go, and Ray Shiro soon followed. It did not work out. He just had the number two pick in the draft. But if you're Johnny Gaudreau, it sounds like it's more about family.
Yeah.
I think all of his family, and it sounds like his wife's family, are all based in that New Jersey area. As I think they're also about to have their first child, it sounds like, after I was listening to the news conference last night. So it makes sense from a family perspective. So, you know, winning is important, obviously, but they are people too. These athletes are people too. It's important to be near family.
Craig on the text line says, I want Max Domi.
I think Max Domi could be had, and I think Max Domi could be had at
relatively cheap.
At a relatively cheap price compared to other free agents on the market. We talked about him the other day, coming off of a 39-point season in Columbus and Carolina, scored 28 goals three, four years ago.
Had 72 points that year with Montreal. Yep.
Right, so who knows what you're getting from Max Domi? You know, if you can get 20 goals out of Max Domi, hey, that's more than Tolvanen and Cunning. So it would be an upgrade. Would it be the move that – this is what I keep coming back to. None of the free agents out there that it sounds like the Predators could realistically sign are going to make this team demonstrably better. And that therein lies the conundrum that we've been talking about for the last couple of days and what the Flames are currently going through right now. The Flames – watch what the Flames do today. Yep. I think that'll be an interesting, if you're a hockey fan, that'll be an interesting situation to monitor because they lost Gaudreau, and as we were talking about at the top of the show, are they going to try to replace him or come close to replacing him through a combined effort? Are they going to decide to maybe take a step back? You know, I would watch the Flames today. That's the situation I'm curious about just because of the fallout from the Gaudreau situation.
Logan on the text line says, isn't Cali a free agent? They could go after Yarncroc. Get him back in here.
The boy Cali. He is a free agent. Had a fairly underwhelming time in Calgary.
A good word to describe it.
He had a total of 4 assists in 17 games in the regular season for the Flames and 1 goal and 4 points in 12 playoff games.
Yeah.
So I like Cali Yarncroc. He was a good, solid player here for a long time.
It's time to let that one go.
Time to let that ship sail.
I believe
boy.
That is probably the case. Maybe boy Cali ends up back in Seattle. I don't think so, because I've heard that he wasn't a huge fan of Seattle, but that's just what I've heard.
Not a Starbucks guy.
I guess not.
Not a grunge guy.
So another question I have, you know, in addition to the free agency part of this, is are there any young guys that are maybe even in development camp right now that could potentially have an impact on this team this year? And I talked to a guy yesterday that I don't think – necessarily has one on the team this year, but I also don't think is that far off either, entering into his first year of pro hockey, and that's Luke Evangelista. I mean, I watched him yesterday. He looks really good out there. We've talked a lot about him here on the show. We've had a lot of questions about him on our text line too. He had like 111 points last year in the OHL. I mean, he's putting up really good numbers. And I talked to Luke Evangelista yesterday at Prez Development Camp just about kind of how he feels, where his confidence is heading into his first year of pro hockey. And he had a pretty interesting response. Here's what Luke Evangelista had to say yesterday at Prez Development Camp.
Heading into pro hockey, I guess, where's your confidence level in terms of as you look at this NHL team and obviously with thoughts of trying to make that?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I have more confidence than, you know, a typical, you know, maybe 19 or 20-year-old would, just because of that year I got to play in Chicago in the COVID year. So I already got that little taste of pro hockey. So, you know, I just want to take what I learned there and hopefully, you know, use it in my game and give myself the best chance I can to make the team.
So Evangelista played a couple of years ago, just like Tomasino, for a brief period of time with the Chicago Wolves of the AHL, just because COVID shut down the Ontario Hockey League that year. Now, he only played in 14 games, and he had 4 assists, and I think just physically he wasn't really ready for the AHL yet at that point. But that was, you know, almost 2 years ago at this point. He's grown since then. And he just had a monster year last year. 55 goals, 56 assists, 111 points. I don't think he's going to be a factor this year at the NHL level. Like, he might get a call-up once or twice. I don't know. Like, I look at the development camp roster. I mean, the one guy that I think at forward you wonder about right now is Igor Afanasyev. Could he get a look for the Preds in training camp this year? But that's another thing. If you're David Poile today, you've got to be thinking about of, all right, let's say they go and sign one player. Do you try to sign maybe two on bargain bin deals, or do you leave a spot open for a younger player like an Afanasyev to maybe make your team out of camp? Cody Glass, I think, fits into the same category as well. I'm really interested to see how they view some of these younger guys that they have coming up through the pipeline. I don't know that Evangelista is quite ready for the NHL yet.
No, we talked about this the other day. As he mentioned in the clip, he did get a taste of pro hockey a couple of years ago playing for the Chicago Wolves when the Milwaukee Admirals were not in action. But we talked about Philip Tomasino and how the fact that he got to spend a year in the American League when he normally wouldn't have been able to because of his age, I think that set up Philip Tomasino incredibly well for what we saw from him last season and presumably will continue next season and beyond. So I think Evangelista would be best served to spend at least a full season in the American League. I think Afanasyev is the player that I would look at as maybe, you know, that that you can play him on a fourth line, I think.
Yep.
And I think he would fit into what they're doing. You know, he had 12 goals and 33 points in 74 games last year with the Milwaukee Admirals, still on an entry-level contract, I believe, and you need those players, especially when you're paying the likes of Philip Forsberg $8.5 million. You need those younger players on entry-level deals to fill spots so that don't cost a lot of money. So,
yep.
You know, I think Afanasyev is probably the player in Milwaukee who might be the most ready. I mean, Cole Smith is another one. Cole Smith had a couple of games here and there with the Predators in recent seasons. You know, a big-bodied player, could play on a fourth line, you know, in the mold of, you know, Tanner Jeannot. So he's another one. You know, Tommy Novak got some time in the NHL, and I thought looked pretty good, you know, all things considered. So, You know, for me, I'm looking at someone like Igor Afanasyev, you know, as someone that could be ready to take that next step next season.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jill Jelinek from Fox 17. We'll get her thoughts on the Preds and development camp, free agency, and the Titans as well, with training camp just a few weeks away. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.